And how about that, Jerry? The fans behind the Blue Jays third base dugout just broke out into an impromptu version of O Canada. And let's hope we get to hear that again tomorrow. Right now, it's Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays stave off elimination and have a chance to draw even in this series tomorrow afternoon. They do what they needed to do and beat the Texas Rangers 5-1. Let's get right to the phones. We'll start with Leo in Waterloo. Leo, you're the leadoff man on postseason Jays Talk.
And let's put it out of the park. Thank you, but I can't because you just took away my wind by saying that they did what they had to do. So let's
that's what they done did.
Well, they did, of course. But as far as Chulo goes and Estrada, like, you know, something, it's the call. Some of you called on, a couple of you called out, you actually picked out Estrada. I'm going to go with a double-headed coin because I really can't separate the two. If it wasn't for Estrada pitching the way he did, maybe Chulo wouldn't have picked it off. It was just everybody fed off of the other, and it was just one thing coming up next and next. And for all those last game during the call-in, there was a number of people that were really disappointed and kind of dumping on Chulo that he hasn't done anything with a bat and he's not good. Like, aside from that being an absolute asinine remark because he is the number one shortstop. But now I hope everybody that thinks like that will just bunker down and keep it quiet. Because he came through, it wasn't clutch, but it's next door to clutch, and he came through with it when it was absolutely important. Was he going to do it? Nobody knows before it happened. Was it going to be Bautista? Was it going to be Donaldson or Edwin? We don't know, but it was Chulo, and the timing was perfect on that. Beautiful, beautiful game.
Thanks, Leo. Appreciate the call. I would call that clutch. You know, after the Blue Jays had first and third, nobody out in the third, bases loaded, one out in the fourth, runner at third, one out in the fifth, and they'd only scored two runs, then bases loaded, nobody out in the sixth, and Chris Colabello hits a scorcher to first base, but into a 3-2-3 double play. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity had been missed. They needed somebody, and that was a huge home run for Troy Tulowitzki. And if good things continue to happen the rest of this postseason, that might go down in Blue Jays history as a huge one. One certainly hopes so, because it feels like things are starting to turn. You get a lefty in Derek Holland tomorrow, the guy with an ERA around 5, maybe someone that the Blue Jays can beat up again. Send this thing back to Toronto for a game 5. The Blue Jays do need to win 3 games in a row, but really what they need to do, well, now they only need to win 2 games in a row, but what they need to do is win 1 game 3 times. Now they just have to win 1 game tomorrow. And if they do that, then they have to win 1 game on Wednesday. And if they do that, then they can breathe. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How are you this evening?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? So happy with how they came back and got a little closer to tying the series. And you know what? Marco Estrada really, you know, pitched the best game, in my opinion, one of the best games of the season. Aside from the two near no-hitters, this one, to me, was the biggest one because we were on the verge of elimination, and we really needed someone to step it up to keep the season alive, and he really did tonight.
Estrada was terrific. He really was. I mean, there's no way to overemphasize how good he was and how important an outing like that was, especially for the first 5 innings when he was basically dealing with no margin for error.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know what? And also, the Tulowitzki hit was pretty big because, you know what? Like you said, we really needed something to, you know, to put that nail in the coffin because, you know what? We really, you know, we were so close to like putting it away earlier, but then we ran to a couple of double plays on the lineout that I think it was Revere that hit it with Pilar on third base, and then the 3-2-3 double play that Colabello hit in. And and you know what? That's probably the best time for Tulowitzki to get his first hit of the series. And you know what? Hopefully we'll turn it back. We're going to tie this up and send it back to Toronto. I'm very excited for what might happen tomorrow.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate the call. And the feeling now is very, very different than it was going into this game after Friday afternoon. Just really worried and anxious and, you know, one game and could they get swept and how horrible would it be if they got swept? And now you kind of feel like, even though it's not the case, the Rangers' backs are against the wall a little bit because they do not want to come back to Toronto. Although it's been a road warrior series so far, a home team has yet to win a game. I think it would be awfully swell if the first time that a home team won a game was in Game 5. Brian is in Toronto. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Great win by the Jays. Very exciting. But before Tulowitzki hit his home run, I was still a little bit nervous, and I have to ask you about the apparent missed balk call by the umpires. You know, that could have played a huge factor if they had not broken it open. Is that a reviewable call?
No, a balk is absolutely not a reviewable call. And I have to say, I didn't see anything. I mean, we're watching the game as opposed to the television broadcast up here, and all three of us missed it. It's such a minute thing. It's really hard. I understand they showed it on TV a couple of times, and it looks like that there was a real honest-to-goodness balk by Martin Perez with Deonor Navarro at the plate and the bases loaded when just before Navarro hit into that double play. And, yeah, that could have been a game-changer. You call that, all of a sudden it's 3-0, runners at second and third, the double play's taken out of order with only one out, and the Blue Jays can maybe blow it open a little bit sooner than they did, but they wound up doing it anyway.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, quite a few calls have gone against them. I'm very impressed by Batista. You know, he was on it. He noticed the balk from the dugout, and just, you know, too bad that wasn't picked on with six umpires on the field. It's hard to believe that was missed. Can I also ask you to comment on the decision to start Diggy tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
No, just whether you like it, whether you wish it was set up for Price to come back on an early rest.
Obviously, no, I don't have a problem with R.A. Dickey.
The knuckleball's working well tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if it's not, then you get him out in a hurry, and David Price probably can come in, or maybe Marcus Stroman on short rest if Price threw too much today to be able to work tomorrow. But tomorrow is the same as today. It's backs to the wall, and it's, you know, pull out all the stops. Everybody's got a short leash, and you have to win or you're done. But R.A. Dickey had an amazing second half of the season. Basically, from the end of May on, he's been incredible. He said today in his news conference, because they always have the guy who's starting the next day does a little thing, and maybe we'll play it for you a little bit tomorrow in the pregame. But he said he felt like he pitched this year in the second half better than he pitched in the second half of his Cy Young season. And when you go back and look, there were some awfully, awfully good starts for R.A. Dickey, basically from, I don't know, the end of May? From the end of May forward, Dickey had, let's see, 23 starts, and he had an ERA of 3.11. And batters hit .239 against him with a .294 on base. You know, those are some pretty incredible numbers, 150 and a third innings with 171 base runners. He's been fantastic. And there's only one start in the month of September where he gave up more than two earned runs, or more than two runs, period. So, you know, I know that the knuckleball is a capricious animal, and I know that it can come and go, and we've seen it. And you hope that it's good from start to finish, but I don't have a problem at all with R.A. Dickey starting tomorrow.
No, for sure. He deserves it. And apparently he's going to be the oldest player to make his major league postseason debut tomorrow.
That'll be very cool. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate all the calls, and we will get to some more, but we're going to step away for a second. Phone lines are open, I think. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays live to fight another day. They beat the Texas Rangers 5-1. They trail in the best of five American League Division Series 2-1. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Back here at Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, the Blue Jays are not going home yet. They beat the Rangers 5-1 to extend this American League Division Series to a fourth game. R.A. Dickey's going to start it against Derek Holland. We'll be on the air at 3:30 p.m. Eastern for a 4:07 first pitch. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and let's get right back to the phones. Liam is in Toronto. Hey, Liam.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, first I just want to say a couple things. First, I want to pick up Josh Donaldson, because I really think he set the tone tonight with his prowess on the base pass, if you can call that, going from second to third on that sack fly, which I didn't think he would have a chance, but he got in there very easily, and then going first to third, very aggressively on that Bautista single. I felt like that kind of set the tone, and that kind of got us going, like, this is playoff baseball, we're playing hard, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Josh Donaldson is a guy who takes a lot of risks and winds up on the right side of a lot of low percentage plays, and both those things, I think, fell into that. But yeah, an outgrowth of that is what you just said, that it's aggressive. It's let's go. We're not gonna leave anything behind. If we're done, we're done. But let's make sure we go out with our best foot forward.
For sure, agreed. I just wanted to ask you about Estrada. His fastball, it almost seems kind of unhittable. And I know he throws that slow curve, 76, 77, and that change 80, and I know that's why that fastball looks a lot faster. But even in fastball counts, when they know the fastball is coming, even two, three in a row, it just seems unhittable. I was just wondering, why do you think that is?
I think the beautiful thing about it is that even in fastball counts, they don't know the fastball is coming, because Marco Estrada's changeup is so good and he's so confident in it, he is prepared to throw it in absolutely any count at any time. So you have to keep that in the back of your mind. I mean, when he struck out Rougned Odor in that fifth inning, Joe Siddle and I were talking about it. He struck him out on a curveball. And when you're sitting there 0-2, you got to think, okay, the changeup's his out pitch. It's his best pitch. He might throw me a changeup, but you can't sit changeup, because then if somebody throws you a fastball, you're meat cake, and then he drops a curveball in there to just screw everything up. So
Exactly. Even
when you're in a fastball count, you got to have that changeup in the back of your mind, because you know that there's a decent chance that Estrada's going to throw it.
For sure. Yeah, his fastball more than others just looks like something's going on there. And they just swing through it through the whole second half of the season. Just players swing through his fastball, which is just great to see. And the last thing I just wanted to say is about Price Dickey's situation tomorrow. And obviously Dickey's a starter. We're going with Dickey. Price, I thought he was standing up a little too long tonight, throwing possibly a little too much. Four run lead. I personally want Price to start tomorrow. That's just me. I want our best pitcher. We have David Price. He's David Price. I want him to start tomorrow and that be his game, and then throwing pitch back in Toronto. But that's just me. But go with Dickey. They're starting with him tomorrow, but I just want Price. If that knuckleball is floating in the slightest, if the Rangers are up 1-0 in the bottom of the first, first and the second, one out or something, I want Price to be very ready to go, and I think he'll be the guy, but we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if he threw too much today, if it became a real side, and now he's unavailable until Game 5, but there's one way to find out. Appreciate the call, Liam, and we will get to some more calls in a second, but the one way to find out is to hear from the manager. John Gibbons met the media after the Blue Jays 5-1 win, and here's that conversation.
John, can you talk about the job that Estrada did tonight, please?
Shoot, he was unbelievable. But I got to tell you, you know, especially you guys that follow us all the time, he's been doing that all year. You know, do or die game. Doesn't surprise me he stepped up. You know, you could tell early on, too, he was on. You know, I mean, we talked about nerves or guys, you know, a little too emotional, you know, how would it affect him. I didn't see that I didn't see that at him at all. So, job well done, but he's been doing that all year.
Can you talk about what he was throwing that made him so effective?
Well, what he always throws, you know, he was spotting his fastball, a great changeup, and I thought he used his curveball really well tonight. I thought him and Navarro, once again, great game plan. You know, Navarro's got a great feel for him. You know, he follows him. Not like Burley, you know, he follows him almost to the letter. And so you got to give credit there, too.
Standing up on the right.
I guess it was nice to see Tulowitzki break out tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tulo needed that. He really did. He had that long layoff after the injury, and then you know, it's been kind of a battle for him this year offensively. He's got some key hits along the way, but he hasn't hit as like he normally does, so I figure maybe that sets him off, you know, and then he came back and followed that with a single. So, you know, if he catches fire, we're real dangerous.
Jerry?
Kibbe, you had Price up in seventh. Does that eliminate that option tomorrow, or does he have enough bullets he can bounce back tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have to talk to him. You know what, you know, we got him going, you know, when we brought Lowe in case things got a little hairy there, you know, to be ready for Chu. And then when Chiz went back out there, if two guys get on, you know, because of all the lefties he was in. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's and we'll talk to him. I expect he'll be fine. But if not, we still have Stroman will be available tomorrow. And then if we're fortunate enough to get to the fifth game, then, you know, Price would get that one or what have you. So
here on the right.
John, you talked before the game about hoping for maybe an inning breakout to get the offense going again. It took a couple of cracks to get that, but did you think it was coming?
Yeah, I mean, we were in a real good position all night long tonight. I mean, they made a couple great double plays. You know, Navarro had a great at-bat with the bases loaded, and then he hit it on the money. Odor turned a nice double play. And then, of course, Colabello, another great at-bat. You know, Moreland's playing in like he should, and he's scalded it. He made a great play on him, ended up turning two. So you're wondering what's going on here. You know, for a minute there, you go, maybe this isn't meant to be, you know. And then, but I thought we had some great at-bats. You know, we're more patient tonight than we have been, which is kind of, you know, a lot of ways we hit for power. We slug it out, but we also got pretty good discipline, and I thought that was much better tonight.
Ken in the back.
Hey, John, just to be clear, tomorrow, is Dickey still scheduled, or are you thinking about maybe Price?
No, Dickey will start tomorrow. You happy with that, Kenny?
Shy.
Gibb, you mentioned the better discipline at the plate, the better approach. Was that a point of emphasis in some of your game planning today? And what did you attribute the difference today compared to the first two games?
No, I mean, we didn't game plan that. You know, you heard a couple guys talking over the last couple of days that, you know, we weren't being ourselves as far as that, you know. But, you know, Gallardo is very good, and, you know, he lives on the edges. So in a lot of ways that takes away some of that. You know, Hamill's really the same way. So, but I, between themselves, there wasn't a conscious effort to focus on that. But, you know, I mean, these guys know who they are after playing so long, and I think it was just kind of a thing they did on their own for whatever. And you know, Perez, I mean, he's a little more wild than those other two. And so we took advantage of that.
Any last ones for John? Do one more here, Jason.
You counted on Loop there in a what could have become a pretty tight situation.
Say that again?
You went to Loop in what right. Could have become a pretty tight situation. How impressed were you with the way he handled it and getting that out? How big was that and the way the rest
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. You know, they played it a run on that. You know, you hope you get a strikeout, but you definitely got to get it an out. And, you know, I mean, he's become that much more valuable now that Cecil's down. especially the way their lineup. You know, their lineup's almost complete opposite of ours. You know, we're basically right-handed. They're basically left-handed, you know, and there's more right-handed relievers out there than there are left-handed relievers. So, you know, hopefully we bounce back tomorrow and have another good game. And, if we're in a good position, I mean, we're going to have to rely on him.
There he is, John Gibbons, talking about the Blue Jays' 5-1 win over the Texas Rangers. Aaron Loop getting that out. Rougned Odor, that ground ball to shortstop in the seventh inning that Josh Hamilton and Josh Donaldson both crossed in front of Troy Tulowitzki before he made the pickup on the play and the throw for the out. Loop has faced three batters in this playoffs, and he has retired all three of them. The Blue Jays stay alive. Down 2-1 heading into tomorrow afternoon's Game 4. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Time for a couple more calls. And let's go to Brandon in Georgetown. Hey, Brandon.
Hello, Mr. Wilner. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Go ahead.
That's great. So I just wanted to commenting on the David Price coming in as a reliever with that situation. I think it was a smart move on John Gibbons to put in Osuna instead of Loop instead of Price.
Price was never coming in there.
Yeah, that's like with him warming up. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine at work, and he was just hoping and praying he'd end up going in because it would be smart for him to end up being a reliever in the what I think would be a clutch game for tomorrow. Now, my question is, if he does end up becoming a reliever tomorrow night, would he end up getting the start in Game 5, or would you want to wait to put him in for Round 2 because of what ended up happening in the first game of this round and how he kind of ended up getting a little unsettled from the beginning?
No, if Price pitches tomorrow in relief, I would think that Marcus Stroman would pitch in Game 5, would start
okay,
Game 5 on his regular day. But why is tomorrow more important than tonight?
Because once you end up winning tomorrow, you got the home field advantage.
But if you don't win tonight, the series is over.
Well, yes, that's very true.
Which would make one think that tonight would have been the most important of all.
It is a lot. See, okay, if we ended up winning tonight, it would be a lot more important tomorrow. But at least going into tomorrow, they have a lot more confidence, and they'll have the motivation to say, okay, we're going back to Toronto after this because, you know, everything may end up starting from this game or from the start of this game. It's almost going to be a domino effect from, you know, them swinging their bats finally, along with the patience, like what John Gibbons ended up saying. Their offensive awareness is going to be a domino effect going into tomorrow's game, and I think it's just going to carry over into the final game where they have the home field advantage, and it's just where they can end up bringing it home. And we'll see what ends up happening after that.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon. Home field advantage hasn't helped anybody yet in this series. The home team has yet to win a game, and the Blue Jays are hoping that that continues for one more day. Randy is in Moncton. Hey, Randy.
So that's advantage Toronto tomorrow then? With the game on the road? Anyway.
It seems like it so far.
Yeah. I know you've had calls on this already. I like the Dickey Holland matchup tomorrow. I think it's a great matchup for Toronto. Hey, you never know in a game. Ari Dickey had 28 wins before the knuckleballer, and he's got almost 80 wins after the knuckleball. I'll take my chances with Ari Dickey's knuckleball. He's been great since the end of May. And, you know, if he goes out and doesn't win tomorrow, I have no problem with it. The Blue Jays run with a four-man rotation to start this. They have no reason not to go with a four-man rotation in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no reason not to start R.A. Dickey tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is this team won the American League East because of its offense more than anything else, even though the pitching and the defense was very, very good. So if the bats swing like they can, especially against a lefty, then R.A. Dickey just has to be okay for the Blue Jays to get this series back to Toronto.
Well, it was a great win today because game two felt like, you know, it got away from them, and it was a game for the taking, and it didn't happen. So tonight it was great to get that win. Do you think Chase Utley gets a reduction on the appeal tomorrow? With his suspension.
I'm not paying any attention to that series at all. There are two schools of thought. You know, Utley did something that a lot of people do all the time, and unless, you know, nobody gets hurt, so nobody gets suspended. The other thing is that it was very clearly a late, dirty slide that was nowhere near the bag. So two games in a best-of-five playoff series is a massive suspension. I would not be surprised if it got reduced to one, but if you're going to give him a two-game suspension, you're going to give him a two-game suspension, right? Why change your mind the next day?
I agree. He was called safe on replay and then suspended the following day. I don't quite understand that. But anyway, such is life. We'll see what happens tomorrow and what's turning into a pretty good series.
One hopes. Thank you, Randy. This is turning into a pretty good series. The Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers. And they're coming back for Game 4. We'll set it up for you when we come back. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.